Good morning. Okay, we do it every time. Let's try it again. Good morning. There you are. It is indeed a good morning because we are gathered together and God is present with us. This morning, we want to extend a special welcome to folks who are visiting with us. If you are new here, we are so glad that you're here. We hope that you'll sign the attendance pads that are in the pew somewhere. Hopefully they're being passed down the pew. If you'll give us some information, we'd love to be in touch with you and help you to learn more about our congregation. I'd like to draw your attention to some announcements that are in the bulletin insert this morning. Next Sunday, December the 3rd, the Advent activities will begin with our annual Advent workshop, wreath workshop, dinner, and the Christmas oratorio concert. The evening begins at 4 p.m. in McWhorter Hall with wreath making, and all families are invited to that. Dinner is free this year. It is a catered meal, and it will be available following the wreath-making workshop. And those attending the concert are welcome to come for dinner following the concert. But please make your reservations by noon tomorrow so that we know that there's enough food available for everyone. Thank you to all who signed up to sponsor a foster child this Christmas. Our goal was to help provide toys for 25 children, and we ended up being able to sponsor 40 children. If you were not able to sign up to sponsor a child, please consider bringing toys or gift cards for the last minute toy store. Every year, some families are not helped by other organizations or they miss the deadlines for other charities, and this is a real need for them. The last minute toy store will offer new free Christmas gifts to over 5,000 children, but they can't do it without toy donations. So please give generously. You can see the bulletin insert for more information. And finally, today is the last day to sign up for the Advent book study with Pastor Brandon. The study begins this week, and it's being offered at two different times, Mondays at noon and Fridays at 9:30 a.m. The cost for the study is $10, and that covers the cost of the book, and you can sign up for that in the narthex following the service. Let us now open our hearts and minds to worship God this morning.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia,
Though the dark clouds cover us and the violent storms assail, God seeks us out and protects us. God brings us safe, the shelter of compassion. When we feel lost and alone, wondering who will save us, God reaches out in love, healing our wounds and transforming our lives. Thank God who loves us so much. Praise God who searches for us and brings us home. Let us confess our sins to the one who searches us and knows us. Merciful God, we get so caught up in our own lives and needs that we fail to see others for whom we might provide some help and relief. You challenge us to feed those who are hungry and to quench the thirst of those who are parched. You ask us to bring clothing to those who have none, or for whom the clothing is inadequate for the weather, to visit people who are sick, alone, alienated, who are imprisoned either in cells with bars or in conditions of hopelessness and poverty that they see no way out, to welcome the stranger and reach out to those who are marginalized, to always bring your words of healing and redeeming love. We have failed in these tasks. We ignore the opportunities and claim that we are too busy to help, too busy to care. How this attitude must sadden you, O Lord. You lavish your gifts upon us that we might use them for the betterment of your realm, and we treat them as inconveniences. Forgive us, O God. Forgive us and heal our wounds of greed and selfishness. Let us greet this day when the hope of the reign of Christ can be made manifest, and we can be part of this glorious kingdom of peace and compassion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, who brings peace and hope to us, we are forgiven, healed, and enabled to be part of the ministries of compassion in God's world. Rejoice, you are chosen and loved. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people from one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
unless you're a kid and you're welcome to come up and bring an adult if that's helpful. I have something to show you. Does anyone know what this is? What is it? What do you think? It's a goat. This is not just any goat, though. This is a special goat that Pastor Carol let me borrow. And it is a screaming goat. Do you want to hear it? May I listen? Did you hear it? Here we go, ready? It's a screaming goat. In our scripture lesson this morning, Jesus is talking about sheep and goats. And he's sitting on his throne, and he divides the people like a shepherd would separate sheep from goats. And he says to the sheep, "Sheep, I'm so proud of you, and I'm so thankful. You helped me, and you took care of me." And then Jesus turned to the goats and says, "Goats, I'm so disappointed. You didn't take care of me, and you didn't help me." But you know what? Neither the goats or the sheep remember taking care of Jesus or not taking care of Jesus. The sheep say, "When did we help you, Lord?" And the goats say, "When did we not help you?" And Jesus says, "When you took care of other people and helped other people, you helped me and you took care of me. And when you didn't take care of other people or help other people, you didn't take care of me." This scripture reminds us that God wants us to take care of other people and help them. And I have a few ideas about how you guys might help some people, but I bet you have some great ideas. You could probably help somebody at school who's having a hard time or maybe struggling with learning something. You could go sit by someone who's sad and be their friend. You could probably help other people with your family. Maybe you can go volunteer somewhere. And one of the things that we're doing in Sunday school this month, well, in December, is giving money to Open Table Nashville. They're building a tiny house village. It's little houses that are for people who don't have a home right now. And we're raising money to buy some furniture for those people. So you can bring money, and these should be in your Sunday school classrooms, and you can give money in this little house. That's another way to help people. But I know that you all can think of lots of ways to help people this week. Do you think you'd be willing to help one person this week? Do you think you could do that? Yeah, I think you can too. And I think they can too. Let's have a prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day, and we thank you that you have called us to help you by helping others. Remind us that when we help other people, we're helping you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, all. You can go back to your seats. That's okay. I think that Carol keeps that goat on her desk, if any of you want to get a closer look at it. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words that I speak and the thoughts that we think be acceptable to you. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, I think that goats are making a real comeback these days. I mean, if you think about it, goats are everywhere. More than ever before, you can find goat milk and goat cheese in the local grocery stores. All you have to do is search for goats on YouTube, and you get thousands of video options. They have cute baby goats, singing goats, screaming goats, jumping goats, all sorts of options. Someone in the Tuesday morning Bible study this week said that he actually rented a herd of goats to come clear some land for him, and they did a really good job. And you can even sign up for goat yoga. Has anybody done that? I'm kind of intrigued. Yes, goats really seem to be doing well for themselves, especially if you compare them to sheep. No one really talks about sheep these days. But in Jesus' day, sheep were actually worth more than goats. Their wool was valuable, and they were a little less high maintenance than goats who needed to be protected from the cold. So it's no big surprise that sheep come out on top in our scripture this morning. You'll recall that Jesus is sitting on his throne in all of his glory, and he's looking out over all the nations. And like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, Jesus divides the people with the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. And he says to the sheep, "Sheep, you are blessed by God. Come and inherit my kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world began. And here's why. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink." And Jesus lists all of these ways that the sheep had cared for him. But the sheep are a little sheepish. They don't remember doing these things for Jesus. But he says, "When you did it to the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Whew, lucky sheep, right? And then Jesus turns to his left, and, well, let's just say it didn't really go so well for the goats. Why? Because he was hungry, and they didn't feed him. He was thirsty, and they didn't give him something to drink. They didn't welcome him, or clothe him, or visit him when he was sick or in prison. Those poor, clueless goats. "When, Lord," they ask. "When did we see you in need and not take care of you?" And Jesus says, "Here's the deal. When you didn't do those things to those who were in need, you didn't do them to me." So Jesus condemns them to hell while the sheep enjoy eternal life. It's a nice story, right? If you're a sheep. I have to admit, this passage makes me uncomfortable. Sometimes I read it and I think, oh, I'm definitely a sheep. No worries. I work for the church, right? I'm good. And then I begin to wonder. I think I'm a sheep. I hope I'm a sheep. But what if I'm not? What if I'm actually a goat? There have been so many times that I've ignored that person asking for money. There have been so many times when I've found better things to do than visit someone who is sick. And I can't tell you the last time I went to a prison to visit someone. Yikes. Maybe I'm more of a goat than I'd like to admit. But is that the purpose of this passage? Is Jesus trying to scare those of us who are goats, or reassure those of us who are sheep? I'm not sure that's his intent. Lindsay Armstrong is a pastor who says that Matthew's depiction of the Last Judgment is like a wellness check. It's not supposed to condemn or to scare, but it's supposed to provide a snapshot of our overall health. It's a look at our development, our learning, and our growth that should lead to new habits and new ways of life. After all, she says, just as our doctor wants us to flourish, so does our Creator, Redeemer, Judge, and King. In other words, this passage isn't a guilt trip, but it's an opportunity for a gut check, a chance to pause and evaluate our commitment and priorities. If we've been acting like goats, well, it's probably time to change a few things. And if we've been more like sheep, we can't just rest on our laurels. Just like our physical health, our spiritual health needs to be maintained. My guess is most of us fall somewhere between sheep and goats. We're not fully sheep or fully goat. And all of us can be better about caring for the least of these. As I was talking with the folks at the noon Bible study on Tuesday, someone mentioned that sometimes this just feels overwhelming. And I agree. Sometimes it feels like no matter how hard we try, we just can't cut it. We fall short of Christ's call. There are so many people who are hungry and sick and in prison. There are so many strangers out there. How can we possibly welcome and care for them all? It's easy to feel like we can't make much of a difference. And if we can't make that much of a difference, then why bother trying at all? Maybe we should just resign ourselves to being goats. Except that Jesus actually has something to say to this line of thinking. And he does it back in chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. He's sending his disciples out to be missionaries, and he's trying to convey the importance not only of the work that they're going to do, but of the support that they're going to receive from other people. Eugene Peterson paraphrases it, and he says this: Jesus says, "This is a large work I've called you into, but don't be overwhelmed by it. It's best to start small. Give a cool cup of water to someone who's thirsty, for instance. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice. You won't lose out on a thing." Did you catch that? Start small, Jesus says. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice. We don't have to do it all at once. We can start small, begin there. Barbara Brown Taylor suggests focusing on one person to begin with. She says, the next time you go to the grocery store, try engaging the cashier. You don't have to invite her home for lunch or anything, but take a look at her face while she's trying to find arugula on her laminated sheet of produce. Here is someone who exists even when she's not ringing up your groceries. She's someone's daughter. She may be someone's mother as well. She has a home she returns to when she hangs up her apron here. You saved $11.06 today, she says, looking right at you. All that is required of you is to look back. Just meet her eyes for a moment and say, thanks. Sometimes that's all another person needs, to know that she has been seen. Not the cashier, but the person. Taylor describes this practice as coming face to face with another human being, preferably someone different enough to qualify as a capital O, other, and at least entertaining the possibility that this is one of the faces of God. I think that's an important part of this gut check. There is an awakening that happens among the sheep and the goats. They come to understand that the hungry and thirsty, the naked and the stranger, the sick and the imprisoned, all of those people are actually Christ himself. The Son of Man who will sit on his throne in glory, surrounded by the angels, that very same king can actually be found here and now in the faces of the neediest people who are often overlooked and ignored. And we, friends, we are lucky enough to get in on this secret now, today. This week I read an article from NPR about a man named Dan Peterson. After Dan's wife died, he really didn't know what to do with himself, and he became depressed. One day, he went to the grocery store looking particularly disheveled. He hadn't shaved in a few days, and he hadn't had a haircut in months. And as he walked down toward the end of an aisle, Dan encountered a 4-year-old girl named Nora. Nora bounded up to him and said, "Hi, old person. Today's my birthday." Nora and Dan struck up a conversation, and a friendship was born. Now she and her mom, Tara, visit Dan every week. Tara says, "She just blows in like a whirling dervish, plunders through his cabinets, and he slaps his knee and laughs and laughs and laughs." They spend time in his yard, telling each other secrets and giggling together. Nora says that she thought Dan needed a friend because he was sad. And Dan says, "Nora got me out of the loop, gave me something to live for. It's like the sun came out, you know?" Nora saw the face of God in Dan Peterson. And Dan Peterson saw the face of God in Nora. We who follow Jesus, We who want to be in relationship with him, we are called to seek him by engaging with our neighbors in need. Jesus is inviting us to check in with ourselves, with our spiritual health, and make the necessary changes so that we don't miss out on the life that he wants for us. And I'm not just talking about life in heaven someday far down the road. I'm talking about abundant life, abundant kingdom living here and now, today. We've just celebrated Thanksgiving, and the wider culture has already begun celebrating Christmas. We've had the Black Friday craziness, and Christmas decorations are up everywhere. But in the Christian church, we're actually celebrating New Year's Eve. Today is Christ the King Sunday. It's the final day of the Christian year. Next week, we'll begin to celebrate the new year with the first week of Advent. But today is set aside to proclaim that Christ is the King of our world and our lives. He is the one to whom we pledge our ultimate allegiance. Over the past several weeks, Carol has been preaching on the parables in Matthew, and she's explained that Jesus is having a party, and we're all invited. Well, this is the party, folks. It's just getting started. It probably doesn't look like your typical New Year's Eve party, but it is a potluck, and we know a few things about that, don't we, Methodists? This party includes a bunch of people who are different from us. They probably make us uncomfortable, and they need something from us. But you know what? We need something from them, too. Our spiritual health depends on them. So how about a New Year's resolution? Whether we're sheep or whether we're goats, let's pledge our allegiance to Christ our King. And let's commit to doing one small thing this week, just to begin, just to get started. Let's look someone in the eye and give them the gift of recognizing their humanity. And if we have more to give, let's offer someone a meal or a cool cup of water. Let's go through our closets and get rid of all those clothes that we never wear and give them to folks who actually would use them and wear them. Let's take some time out of our busy schedule and visit someone who's sick or lonely. Or maybe let's sign up to find out more about a prison ministry and how we can help them. Whatever we do, whether it's small or extravagant, I have no doubt that we will encounter the face of Christ our King, and we will be blessed beyond measure. So come on, sheep. Come on, goats. The party's just getting started, and it's going to be great. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you stand as you're able and join me as we affirm our faith together with number 883 in your hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up all of the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, please fill out a gray card that you find located in the pew racks in front of you. Please remember to indicate whether you would like those prayer requests to be shared or if they should remain confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates in a few moments as they make their way down the aisle. The rose on the communion table today celebrates the birth of Vera Marie Flick on November 13th, 2017, to Ben and Jamie Flick. And then we have two deaths to announce. Michael Linseth died Monday, November 20th, and is survived by his wife Betsy and son Michael Linseth Jr. A memorial service will be held at a later date to be determined at a later time. Debbie Ferguson and family are mourning the death of Debbie's father, N.C. Parker, who died on Sunday, November 5th. A service was held on November 7th in Brewston, Tennessee. Let us now offer to God our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, above all nations and people, you reign over all of creation in great love and mercy. As your children gathered here today, we turn our hearts and minds toward you in prayer. Just Lord of abundant grace, help us know the heart of your law of love. May your Spirit convict us of the many ways we fall short of your will, while also empowering us to live more fully into your goodness and righteousness. Grant that we would truly see you and respond to your call. May we be counted among those who encounter you in the hurting, the abandoned, the sick, the naked, the imprisoned, the hungry, and the thirsty. Healing and sustaining God, we pray for a world that groans for your restoring presence. In times that are marked by planetary distress, global unrest, and human neglect, we ask that you would move among us. Restore this world and all things in it, that the day would hasten to come when all is made right. We pray for your peace to shape all things in all time. We pray especially for those whose voices go unheard, for those abused and misused, forgotten and ignored. We pray for those who struggle with sickness in body, mind, and spirit. May they experience comfort in the midst of darkness and help in their time of need. Living Lord, we pray for ourselves, for we all stand in constant need of your grace. Holy God, hear these prayers and our personal petitions as we enter a time of silent prayer. Hear our prayers, O Lord, as we join our voices together in prayer, as you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, I would like to welcome Neethu Thampi up here for a ministry moment.
Hi, everyone. My name is Neethu Thampi, and I'm a senior at Vanderbilt University, a member of West End UMC, a leader in Vandy Wesley, the United Methodist Student Ministry on Vandy's campus. After freshman year, I transferred to Vanderbilt from the University of Alabama. I transferred schools because although I found a great social network, my college experience was missing something, and I wanted to be challenged to the fullest extent of my abilities. And boy, has Vanderbilt done that. As a child, I was raised in the Mar Thoma Christian denomination, but it never quite fit for me. I didn't feel a sense of community and support like I wanted to experience with a faith family. Once I went off to college, I wanted to make faith my own and be a part of a community who reaches out to care for others, loves unconditionally, and helps each other grow in Christ. I actually lucked out in that I found a UMC home both at University of Alabama and at Vanderbilt. West End UMC was so easy to get to sophomore year, and I felt so welcome from my first service. Especially as I got really involved with college lunch and fellowship, I yearned for such a community on campus. Soon after, I got the privilege to help Nancy revive the Wesley group on Vanderbilt's campus, and it's been such a joy to see it grow, knowing that other students could experience the same love of God, acceptance, and community I felt. Wesley continues to encourage me to be myself, helps me feel grounded and supported, and helps me learn more about Scripture. Next Sunday's communion offering goes to support the Wesley Foundation that TSU, Fisk, Belmont, and Vanderbilt. And when you give, you are supporting a place on campus where students can come and know the unconditional love of God. I'm not sure where I would be without my friends and my experience at Wesley. Especially at Vanderbilt, I felt that I needed that time to recharge and focus. It is my home away from home, in a place where I know that I'm supported and encouraged and always loved. As a people called to love all of God's people, may we give our tithes and offerings as a sign of our commitment to the call of Jesus Christ on each of our lives.
Friends, may we go forth this week to start by doing something small. May we look people in the eye and see the face of God, and may we be blessed beyond measure. Go with the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen.